The Way of the White Lotus. Das ist ein wundervolles Buch über die Streamline Meditation, das der Gründer Malcolm Fletcher geschrieben hat. Ich werde mit ihm gleich ein Interview führen und da hineintauchen in die Einzigartigkeit dieser Meditation, Streamline Meditation. Doch vorher heiße ich dich herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode meines Podcasts Seelenfunken. Dein Podcast für Leichtigkeit und Tiefe, für ein erfülltes Leben. Mein Name ist Peter von A. und meine Berufung ist es, Licht zu erinnern und Liebe zu verkörpern. Schön, dass du wieder dabei bist. The Way of the White Lotus. Gleich geht's los mit dem Interview und ich freue mich, dass du dabei bist. A very warm welcome to you to the new episode of my podcast, A Glimpse of Soul. And I'm very happy to share something very special with you today. My name is Peter von A and my mission is to remember light and to embody the love. And today we talk about a very special book and The Way of the White Lotus. This is something very deep. And I have the great honor to have Malcolm Fletcher today in my interview. But let's start a little bit earlier. Almost 6 years ago, I attended a seminar in Toronto from Bob Proctor. It was the last Matrix seminar, and there I met Troy. Troy came over from Australia, and what he has had in his luggage was something very special. He's a great meditator. And so he invited some people to have a very deep meditation. I knew meditation. And so I thought, okay, I will not attend. But what happened with that group, that was so fantastic. Because when they came out, they were so relaxed. They were so peaceful. And everyone's feedback was, that was great. I have never experienced something like that. So some weeks later, I contacted Troy because I wanted to know more about that. And so I got in touch with Streamline Meditation. And Streamline Meditation is something I have definitely never experienced. And through that contact with Troy, there was another person behind. And when I met this person for the first time, my heart started to jump. I felt so much love from that person. And that's you, Malcolm. A very warm welcome, very warm welcome, Malcolm. It is a great honor to have you here today.
And it's a great honor, Peter, to be here with you today. Beautiful.
Something happened with us. Since we met each other, we are always in connection with each other. Even we do not talk via Zoom, I have Malcolm always in my heart because I love meditation. But what he made with Streamline Meditation to me, that is extraordinary. And let's dive into that journey. Right. Let's dive into that journey about the Streamline Meditation. Yeah. So go ahead, Malcolm. Thank you.
Okay. Well, obviously you and I share that in common. You know, we're streamlined meditators. But what does that mean for people out there who, like you, maybe they know something about meditation, but they're not sure what we're talking about? So we need to be very clear on that, because streamlined meditation, which is to say pure meditation, The word streamline is very beautiful because it simply means let's take away all the unnecessary things and just come back to the essence of this whole journey. What is the essence? It's certainly not a technique. When people today talk about meditation, in almost all cases, they're referring to a technique, a method, or a system. And that is to say, a way to do something meditatively. For example, a technique is really a way to do something quicker or more effective. But in real meditation, it's not a way of doing anything. In fact, it's a way of letting go. Therefore, techniques and methods are never going to take you to the ultimate experience of your own depth, of your own meditativeness. Because of this factor, there's something in the road, the technique itself. What we need to do is encounter meditation in its purity and in its simplicity, and therefore its most effective form. When we think of a technique, we think of things like repeating mantras or watching our breathing or visualizing something like a chakra or some kind of image, some kind of divine image that we can meditate upon. But the actual fact is, how does this make sense to anyone? Because what meditation is asking us to do is meditate on yourself, your inner self, your essence. Therefore, any of those things are taking you away from that. What meditation really is simply awareness becoming aware of itself, becoming self-aware, because that is our essence. We are aware of so many things in life, the trees out there, the sky, the wind blowing through that palm tree. We're aware of that, but it's not allowing us to encounter our depth, our self. The awareness is what we want. So if we drop of becoming aware of all these external things and simply becoming aware of awareness, this is self-realization. And this is what the whole essence of meditation is about. All the great spiritual traditions and philosophical traditions all agree upon that when they all confer that what meditation is to know thyself. Now, we know in life that doesn't mean that we know what our favorite color is. It doesn't mean what kind of new car we would like to buy. It doesn't mean what is our favorite number, our lucky number. When we talk about knowing thyself, it comes down to one basic constituent, to know the fundamental awareness of our being. Before we become aware of anything, become aware of the fundamental of who and what you are in essence. Now, this is critical, absolutely important in our life, essential, I would say, because once we know that, it's transformative. It starts to change everything in our life because instead of being limited by the outer circumstance of our life, the inner starts to become dominant. So instead of the outer overwhelming us, the outer experience of life overwhelming ourself, it changes around. We, the inner self, starts to overwhelm the outer. And therefore, we gain a tremendous significance because we bring to that infinite value of consciousness itself. And that's why this meditation is unique in today's world. It's very different from all the other forms of meditation that are being offered today. And why that is important is because of the impact that this has on your life, the impact of meditation on how you live, how you act, how you experience everything on your journey. Because when everything out there in the external world overwhelms the self, it minimizes it. And the self is infinite in value. So when we do that, we are really compromising the quality of living. What we want is the full value of consciousness to bloom. And I'll just add one more point to that. Psychologists today all agree that the conscious thinking level of the mind is only about 10%. We only utilize about 10% of that on the conscious thinking level. That means about 90% of our mind, of our consciousness, is subconscious. It's not open and available for our inspection. What this meditation is about is two things. Slowing down the process of thought so that we can start to sink deeper into those layers of consciousness and therefore bring a value of awareness within those. So what was once subconscious gradually becomes fully conscious, and therefore this creates a tremendous explosion of consciousness in our life. And instead of being subconscious, and that means unaware, awareness becomes primal. It becomes expansive, and therefore the value of our life, the value of how we appreciate our life, the happiness we enjoy, the love we encounter, is absolutely amplified in an extraordinary way. So the way to transform our lives is through this full expansion of consciousness, full value of the mind being able to be utilized by us in our day, so that our activity, our business, our relationships, all are influenced by this greater value of consciousness, which is to say peace, happiness, harmony, and balance.
Mm-hmm. How beautiful. How beautiful. And you know, I know that you have started to meditate, I think, when you were about 13, something like that. You got very excited about that, and you told me before that you are meditating for about 54 years now, and so we have with you a great opportunity to go deeper into that. What impact does that have with this kind of meditation in our daily life? And you're a successful entrepreneur, and you are having that your business with your wonderful wife, Tracy. And tell me more about how did that impact your life and your success and your business?
Well, it's a big story, but just to try to condense this down for those who are listening, of course, there is the practical side of meditation. You know, many people consider meditation to be ascetic. That means they withdraw from life. Mm. They become more interested in the inner. But in actual fact, my original teacher of meditation always said, no, don't do that. Life is about 200%. 100% outer, enjoy maximum success. great relationships, harmony and happiness in your relationships, but also have this inner value, this inner component of the spiritual value of life, so that we at 200%, 100% outer, but 100% inner value as well. Most people rarely touch upon that. And I think ultimately it's a shame, because I believe that's going around the world talking to people. That's what most people are looking for. They want some kind of spiritual attainment in their life. How that plays out, we have to go with the flow. We have to let the universe guide us. Because when we talk about a spiritual value to our life, we're not necessarily confining that to just a religious perspective, etc. We want that to mean a value of peace and unlimited happiness, a bliss state of happiness, and a state of harmony. Now, they're abstract terms, but so is the word love. Who can define love? When you fall in love with someone or something, who can define that? You can't put it into a test tube in some laboratory and say, this is it. I remember having a conversation some years back with someone here, and they said, oh, love is just when your heart beats a bit faster and you sweat a bit more and you get tongue-tied for words. And I said, no, that's not love. That's what love does to you. Mm-hmm. That's an impact of love. So all these things that I've just mentioned, spiritual values, they're very hard to define. You can only live them. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just define that by a religious form or some expression of spirit. We want that to be abstract. You know, no one complains when they fall in love. They don't know what it is or why it is. They're just absolutely head over heels for the other person. In fact, in most cases, the other person's happiness and joy becomes more important to them than their own. And so it is with peace and happiness, bliss. We need to find those values, because this really enriches life. The spiritual side of life becomes meaningful and tremendously important. And, of course, everything gets touched by that. And so I think that's the greatest impact of meditation. Of course, there are things like improvement to health. You tend to live with less problems, less stress, less anxiety. You tend to eliminate the impact of that in your life. You minimize it right down. And, you know, stress in the modern world is prolific. People fighting, arguing, wars going on, etc. These things are just terrible for the human psyche. We want to try to avoid that, and the best way is to find peace and happiness within yourself. Then you change yourself, you change the world. So those practical matters, health, greater clarity of thought, so that, you know, when you're doing your business or your studies, if you're a student, you have this tremendous clarity. And so clearer thinking means that our decisions are going to be more exact, more in line with our destiny. And therefore, when we take action, we're going to be able to generate a tremendous power from that, because our thinking is more powerful. As a meditator, we're drawing the thinking back to these deeper layers of the conscious mind. And those layers, like the silence of the ocean, they're more silent, but they're more powerful.
Exactly.
So therefore, when we apply that to the outer world, our action is going to be more powerful. and our results are going to be more powerful, and therefore the state of fulfillment and success that we enjoy from that is going to be also more powerful, more compelling, more enjoyable. So we have those two things, two sides to life. If you want to know the true value, the way meditation can influence your life, we have that outer influence, which is very beautiful and touches all aspects of life. And then we have the inner, which is deeply spiritual and richly rewarding to the soul, to our destiny.
Wow. You know, for me personally, it's like to be in peace, to be in silence. This might be not something attractive for someone else, because the world outside or the people's behavior is very loud and very noisy. And I prefer to the silence in me. I prefer the peace in me. And the more peaceful I am, the more I feel this love, which is not loud. It's very something very, in my opinion, something very neutral. Yet it leads to happiness or joy for no reason.
Yeah.
And I think some years ago, I could never imagine that could happen, that I could experience that. But the more peaceful, the more silent I am, the more I feel this state of happiness for no reason all the time.
Yeah. And you know, you've just touched upon one of the most, if not the greatest thing about meditation. Everyone tends to think that happiness comes about when everything's going our way, when we have a good outcome, circumstances are favorable to us, situations are positive, not negative. Then we think, okay, that's when I feel more happy. But in actual fact, the exact opposite is the real case. Happiness isn't out there. It's within you, what you just alluded to. Happiness that's out there in the material world is conditional. That means, yes, you, of course, when life is going well and you're making money or you've found a new partner and so forth, you are going to feel happy. There's no question. Happiness is happiness. But in that instance, we're referring to happiness as a condition. Mm-hmm. It happens because things are good, things are going well. But what happens when that changes? If circumstances change somewhat, then we start to feel unhappy. So what we need to do, the absolute foundation of our life should be what's known in Sanskrit as ananda. Ananda is a beautiful word. It means you're happy, but for no reason whatsoever. And the only way to achieve that, to find that, or to discover that, is to go deeply within yourself and tap into the very source of your being, because the nature of your essence, of your consciousness, is blissful. When you bring that experience out of meditation, it's like a flow-on effect, a spillover effect, and everything starts to be influenced by that. And, of course, this is important, because the other side of that is we all tend to think that we want success in life because we want to be happy. But in actual fact, the reverse is the case. When you're happy, you become successful. Don't miss this very delicate point in your life. It's tremendously important. You know, the other way, you're chasing success. So you're putting out high energy level. You're doing your best to make your life workable and fulfilling. That's one way, but it's still conditional. Meditation says it's a far superior way. Go within. Tap into your essence. Tap into the characteristic of your being, which is bliss, which is ananda. You tap that source of happiness within yourself. Automatically, success starts flowing towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And you get most people, Peter, they can draw plenty of examples of people they know, even their own life, that when they feel successful, they do feel happier. But the reverse is also true, and in fact more poignant. When you're happy, you start to become successful. It's just a different perspective, but it's a very, very important one, because we don't want to spend our whole life chasing success in order to be happy one day or in the future or next year. What we want is we want to be happy first. Then doors open. The pathway becomes clear. Success starts flowing our way, bending towards us.
Everything starts in me. Everything starts in us. And we have learned that we have to listen to the teachers, to the preachers, to the doctors, and to whatever, and they tell us what we have to do. And I think that's why our focus became so focused from the outside. But actually, we have to switch it back. We have to remember. We have to go home. And to start from inside out.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because we don't want to just allow our life to be dominated by the external. When in actual fact, the driver of our entire life is very internal, deeply internal.
Yeah.
And that means we want to come into contact with ourself, our inner self.
Exactly.
And most people live their whole life and rarely do that. So it's a game changer.
What I have experienced is, you know, we are, our pure consciousness is pure love. And we have learned in the early beginning of our lives the feeling of we are not good enough, and that's where the separation has started, and also the fear of not being loved. But we are pure love, so it's a clinch between that. And I think and from that point of view, where we have started thinking of I'm not good enough, I think we lost the connection to ourselves. Would you agree on that, or how would you?
Totally, and that feeds into one of the most, I would say, biggest issues with meditation for most people. If you talk to people about meditation, a lot of people will say, I could never meditate. I'm not that kind of person. My mind is too active. Too many thoughts. I can't get rid of my thoughts. In fact, I just have one thought, another thought, another thought. I never have any peace. And so what's happening there is we're convincing ourselves that in some way we're not good enough. We do it in many, many ways. You touched upon this beautifully in our life. Society, right from the beginning, starts to indoctrinate us with this kind of concept that somehow we're not good enough. We're not perfect. We're not, smart enough. We're not clever enough. We're not, one would say, sacred or holy in any way. And therefore, we want to improve all these things. We want to try to become better, more righteous, more holy. We want to become more acceptable to our friends, to our peers, to society as a whole. In the meantime, why we feel like that, we have basically had a complete rundown, put down of ourself, that we're not good enough, that our self-worth becomes very low set, and we're always in our life striving to become better, to improve, to become someone else other than who we are. We don't like who we are if we really analyze it on a lot of levels. Meditation works on this profoundly, because meditation says you're at your depth, your inner self is blissfully happy and perfect in every way. It already is and always will be perfect. It's only when we project out that it gives this appearance, and all that conditioning can come in that says, no, you're not good enough. Meditation says the opposite. Acceptance of yourself is one of the key requirements in meditation. Most people, they meditate, they have a lot of thoughts. The first thing they think is, my mind is no good. I want to destroy all my thoughts. How can I get rid of my thoughts? How can I change? Meditation doesn't say that. Meditation says, accept yourself. If there's millions of thoughts, let there be millions of thoughts. It's not a problem. It's only when you make that judgment and that condemnation that you change something beautiful into something very ugly. Meditation says, don't do that. Acceptance of who you are is incredibly important on this journey. The second thing is, in terms of the mechanics of meditation, you don't have to get rid of thought. You don't have to even worry about thought, because meditation isn't about destroying your mind or destroying your ego. It's about allowing the awareness to drift deeper within you. And as we do, what happens is the thinking process slows down. We don't get rid of it, but it slows down. And this is significant because we have a thought and then another thought. But as things slow down, we have a thought and then there's a little pause. There's a little gap. And in that gap, that which is sacred becomes obvious to us. That which is divine starts to appear as something incredibly beautiful in that silence, in that stillness. So it's not a case of let's get rid of all thought, because they're also a reason why I'm not happy about myself and why I think I can't meditate. It's not a case of doing that. It's a case of just letting everything settle. And when it does, it starts to slow down. Now, there's a bit more instruction to that, as you know, that you need to be mindful of in order to enjoy that. But that is truly the essence of meditation. Mm-hmm. Acceptance of yourself. And number two, don't try to destroy your mind. Just allow it to slow down a little bit. And that takes two things, a little bit of patience, but also pure awareness, not guiding the awareness like you do in some meditations that are out there. These meditations are concentration exercises. They have very little to do with the expansionary value of consciousness itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, in no meditation is the same. It's always a little bit different. Sometimes it's a little bit more noisy or more thoughts. Some are more peaceful. However, I take it, it is as it is. And I think the more I accept as it is, I do not have to tune or squeeze or force or push. No, just it is as it is. And in my opinion, we are going through a very challenging time at the moment. A lot is a lot is not functioning any longer as it was. And especially what I have experienced personally is in the past, it was very easy that we had feelings and emotions and we were pushing them away, pushing them under the carpet or whatever. And that does not work any longer. We cannot force, we cannot push it away. So we have to go through that. And especially when I have experienced personally a lot of fear going through me. And for me, the streamline meditation was the key, a very important key to go through that process to find stillness. And also just to let it happen as it is. And the thoughts, the fear, the anxiety, insecurity. However, why do you think, Malcolm, is streamline meditation, especially nowadays, so important?
Because of just what you said, the world is going through an acceleration of karma, which means activity. And this is creating a lot of tension and a lot of stress in a lot of people's lives. The cost of living is going crazy. So living in this world, it's not as simple as it used to be. You know, we need a reasonable income stream in order to participate in this world. But in order to do that, most people are working very hard and they're becoming more stressed, more tense, from the fact that they're working, in some cases, too much and therefore not capable of really having a nice lifestyle as well. So the world is going like that. And, you know, we can look at all the trouble that was currently being worked on with Russia and also the Middle East and so forth. These are big outbursts. These are big outbreaks of tension and stress. So I think that what we need to do is come back to a more resilient, simplized way of living. But the only way to do that is with two things. We still need success, but we want success with less effort, more aligned to our state of being. For example, Lao Tzu, the famous Chinese philosopher, wrote in the Tao Te Ching, "To the mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders." This is a very important thing to consider, that if the mind can be more calm, more resolute, it's more powerful. And a more powerful mind can create what it wants more easily. In fact, its destiny is fulfilled automatically. We bring the awareness down to that absolutely silent level, to the source of thought, pure consciousness itself, not consciousness full of thoughts, ideas, consciousness that is free from thought. In that state, things change dramatically, and it changes from the outer dominating to the outer starting to become subservient and helping us fulfill our destiny. So the way to change the world is to change ourselves. And I think that what you've said about streamline meditation and its application to everyday people, it can't be overemphasized, because most people, if you ask them, "Are you happy?" They'll pause. Maybe they'll think, "Let me think about that." At the start of my book, The Way of the White Lotus, I put that question forward. The most important question you will ever ask yourself is, "Am I happy?" Now, happy before you consider the house, the money, the partner, your job, your career, etc. Are you happy in yourself? This is the important key. And if the answer to that isn't yes, or there's some ambivalence about that, you feel, sometimes I'm happy, then there's a problem that we need to address. And the key to that is bring your awareness to the inner. And then the whole universe starts to cooperate with you instead of you wrestling with it, right? We all know everyone refers to the universe, but what we want is the universe to be like this cooperative force in our life. We want things to go our way. We want our destiny to be fulfilled. The key to that is a silent mind.
Exactly. The silent mind leads me to the feeling of abundance. Yeah. There is no desire, there is no wish, and I know that feeling very well, this state of being. This is fulfillment in the purest form. And it's like the oneness is to have a wish or a desire is so far away because everything is here. Mm. And this is a very great state of being.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's a little verse in the Tao Te Ching that says that. And in fact, George Harrison from the Beatles, years ago, he wrote a song with this very verse in it. It's called The Inner Light, and it says, without going out of my door, I can know all things on the earth. Mm. Without looking out of my window, I can know the ways of heaven. Mm. The further one travels, the less one knows. Now, that line is particularly important because it says, the further one travels, the less one knows. It simply refers to us trying to find the answers all the time to life.
Exactly.
By going out there in the world and trying to create and find it and create it and manipulate the world to produce that result. Meditation takes another perspective. Find that within yourself first, then the outer starts changing. It starts cooperating with you and looks very different and very supportive to you. The universe starts bowing your way.
It's like everything starts in me. And it's like I always use the example of, do you remember the slide projector we had in the 70s, 80s, where we had this, and we had these little slides in it? And this is exactly the same. I can ask myself, which slide do I radiate? Do I project to the outer world? Because we also have the universal law of cause and effect.
Yeah.
And when I set a certain cause, I will get a certain effect in the outside. And the more peaceful I am in me, the more I experience the peaceful world in the outside, more focused, more loving. And this is what I personally experience every single day.
Yeah. And look, that's a great point, because if someone is out there listening to us talk, chatting about this, and they want to know what we're really referring to as in meditation, have they ever been able to sit for half an hour, eyes closed, not asleep, not nodding off, just aware, and felt that nothing could be added to that moment? Nothing could be better. Nothing could be more blissful. Nothing could be more peaceful or enjoyable. If you've never felt that, believe me, you need to meditate. You need to re-examine meditation. But don't go with the run-of-the-mill standard kind of techniques that are available today. they are never going to take you to the infinite. Because for one reason, you start on repeating a mantra. What happens is you drift off that mantra. The instruction is come back to it. So we're always directing awareness back to the object of meditation. Don't do that. You want to become aware of the meditator, not an object. That's the difference between this meditation and technique-driven meditations. Become aware of the meditator, him or herself. And when we do that, we find that the moment, the present moment, is blissful.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that many people today talk about the now, be in the moment. But the actual fact is you can't be in the moment unless you are blissfully happy, unless you have found a blissful state of being. When you do, everything changes. So anyone who says, no, I've never really experienced that within myself, I've never had the pleasure to discover that, take up meditation in its purest form. That means without a technique. Learn the simple way to let meditation find you. You mentioned when I was 13, I wanted to learn meditation, but I was a bit too young. And the teacher said to me, she said, look, don't worry, because she knew I was a bit disappointed. She said, don't worry, let meditation find you. And that, as you know, is the key. You need a little bit of guidance, just a little bit, to set you on your way. But once you do, oh, my God, it's just so blissful and so beautiful.
Absolutely.
So if you haven't had that moment that Peter was referring to, where you're sitting in your being and you're blissful and you feel love welling up within you, start meditating.
So the wonderful thing is, Malcolm, that you have started the Streamline Meditation that we all over the planet can join you. And I think, can you talk a little bit more about how people have access to the Streamline Meditation, which you are the host and or Troy are the host? And I think, please talk a little bit more about that.
Well, yes, we do. Now, there's two aspects to this. First of all, we maintain that you need to be your own teacher. That doesn't mean you know everything or you just stumble along blindly. We can give you some great advice and make sure that you can enter that inner doorway. It's very simple. It's a very simple experience. In fact, maybe we can come back together again, Peter, and go more into the mechanics of Streamline Meditation, how it works, why it works, and how you do it. It's very, very, very simple, trust me. People who, like Peter said about the group he first joined, there would have been many who felt that they probably won't be able to meditate and were surprised by the simplicity. Yeah. So the way to join us is to come on to streamlinemeditation.com. You can join in. We have sessions going daily, during the weekdays, where you can join in and meditate with us and learn this very simple, delicate process. And it doesn't take long. Within a few sessions, you will be meditating to a depth that will amaze you. So that is open to everyone. And also on Malcolm Fletcher Streamline Meditation. I post, it's purely just about this meditation, and I post weekly, usually two, sometimes three little videos each week about all the different facets of meditation in its pure form. So you can hear about that and enjoy that, as well as join us to learn this meditation from Troy or myself at streamlinemeditation.com.
We will write it down underneath the video.
Okay. Sure.
And Malcolm, I don't know when you have started with that, but it was recently released, your book. Your book, This Wonderful Treasure, is something very unique. The Way of the White Lotus, this is something for me, you know, you made me always a little bit curious in our conversation. Sometimes you send me then a little bit of a nugget that I got even more excited about your life and about the experience of streamline meditation. And, you know, and then when I received the first copy of that book for me, that was definitely magic, because I have read many books. I hold many, many books in my hands. And yet this book, that made something very special to me. As Einstein says, everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. Holding this book in my hands, that calms me immediately down.
Mm.
That is something really, really magic, only just to feel and get in touch with that book. And then, of course, when I open the book and I start to read the book, in my opinion, it is so lovely, lovingly written, so honest, so pure, so authentic about your life, about streamline meditation, about meditation and so on. And this is for me so fulfilling. I definitely never had a book like this in my hands.
Oh, okay. Very good. And, you know, the other side of that, of course, about a book. When you have a book like that, and I'm sure all your listeners out there would have come across various writings and books that influence their life. When you find a book that resonates deeply with your own self, that's what you mean by a treasure, right? Because it's just verbalizing your own truth. It's already there. And so you just feel like you're synchronizing with that.
Absolutely.
And, of course, that's what a spiritual book or a very intellectual book or a richly emotional book, that's what they're doing. They're allowing you to come into contact with that value in yourself. So to hear you say that, of course, is a great compliment to the book, because it's saying that there's a truth that is in the book that you share.
Mm.
And, of course, that's what we want. You know, when we say that something is true, we're not trying to define what true means, what truth is. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, because it's a liberating factor.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you find a book or a writing that resonates with your true self, it feels like that. It feels very special to have that in your life, because that very thing, that it's aligned with you. And when we find something like that, let it guide you. You know, what we consider to be sacred, whatever you find in this world that you consider to be sacred, and that means what that word means is something very special.
Absolutely.
Almost transcendental. When you find something in your life that you consider to be sacred, let it guide you.
Malcolm. Sorry. Please go ahead.
Right. No, I'm finished.
Okay. Because my big question is, You wrote this book and I'm convinced writing such a book, something is also happening to you and with you. What happened to you while writing the book, this book?
I think what happened was, which kind of surprised me, that I completely got out of the road. Now, you'll hear writers say this when they're deeply inspired. For me, the book, I won't say it wrote itself, but it just seemed to flow in a way where even I, Malcolm, was surprised by it, because I felt like it just went to another depth that if I tried to write that book, I couldn't. And so it just spoke about the depth that I have enjoyed with this journey, this sojourn, and the truth that was expressed in the book seemed to be something far beyond what I would be capable of expressing. It just seemed to come out as part of a divine source. So, yeah. Something did change. Something definitely.
We could easily say it was also a huge gift for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
And in fact, when the book was completed, I said to Tracy, if for any reason I take birth back in this world, I want to find this book. because that book represents, in some ways, a journey, a search. And what I found was so satisfying that if I find that, you know, we always say, if I could know what I know now when I was younger, and that's what I feel about a part of future life. If I was to come back here again, I would want to find that book because it has the truth of my journey, which I think is yours as well, is a lot of people's journey, without the struggle, without the fight, without the brutality, just letting life flourish of its own accord.
For me, as I told you before, it's a huge treasure to hold this book in my hands. And you know, this is like a very extraordinary, delicious meal where I enjoy every single of it, every single bit of it. And this is not to rush through the book. This is for me, this is too wonderful for me, this book. So I love to enjoy it.
Thank you. That's really beautiful.
And I guess, if people definitely are interested in you even more, that would be a great opportunity to get deep insights about the Streamline Meditations and also about you, because what I found out in the book is how honest you describe yourself, how pure I can sense you. And I think this is something that might also help many other people, especially in that time of life where we are at the moment. Where do people find the book?
I can send you the link direct to the book has only been, it's been published and released only in India at this point in time. It was released at the beginning, middle of August, you can say. And it was published by Motilal Banarsidass. Mm-hmm. I'll send you a link for them once we finish this podcast so that you could maybe attach that to this podcast so that people can go in and
absolutely
buy that directly. I have copies here, but the post from here to some parts of the world can be a bit high. But that's the best place to buy it, from the publisher themselves. They've done an amazing job. I deeply appreciate the fact that they took kind of a bit of a risk with me to publish this book, but they've done an excellent job. They've printed it in hardback copy, and also paperback.
Okay.
And we're now talking about also releasing the book in audio form. And the quality of the book is second to none. They've done a wonderful job of the quality. In fact, they said to me right at the beginning when I questioned the quality, they said, we can assure you will never have any questions about the quality of this book. We will give it the best that we can give it. So it's been really great that they did that they took it on. And anyone who wants to buy a copy, I'll send you the link, but it's with Motilal Banarsidass.
Okay.
They're the oldest and the largest publisher of spiritual books in all of India. In the highest esteem when it comes to their reputation. Mm. They've survived a long time, 103 years, and they do an excellent job. So, and the price of the book is really, you would say the book is very affordable. It's not
absolutely
it's comparable with any
it's like to hold this book and to touch this book and to see how beautifully and perfectly it is made, the quality, it's really high standard.
Yeah, they've done a great job, and because of that, they showed great faith in the book. And some of the advice they gave and so forth, and the assistance that they gave me as a new writer was second to none. And I really appreciate what they've done. And I'm sure anyone who buys the book will find exactly what we've been saying. The quality is great, but the message is even greater, that there's a real eternal truth revealed in not just how to live, but also how to do this meditation. There are two chapters, chapter 8 and 9, that go into guiding you, how to experience streamlined meditation, how to get out of the way, step aside so meditation can find you. So that is in the book also.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Malcolm.
Thank you, Peter.
Malcolm, before we end here, do you have a message that just shows up for us?
You mean for anyone listening to us?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, for me, it always comes down to this. You are here, whether it's clear to you or not, you are here for a purpose. And most people just sort of wander through life and they never become fully aware of their purpose. And even when they have a stimulating career, very often it doesn't feel like it's totally satisfying. So my message is, find your purpose, your destiny. It's not just about what you love to do and so forth. You need to connect to that deeper purpose. And you can only do that by taking your awareness deeper within yourself. Because when you reconnect to the self, all of that becomes more obvious to you. And obvious, but the quality that that brings into your life, into your living, is transcendental. Mm-hmm. And that word means you just go beyond to the next level. And if you're struggling to find your purpose, meditate. The same principle. Come back to the inner self. And then you'll find that if you follow your happiness compass, you'll find what you are designed to do, the purpose you are here. And I'll give you one special clue. That purpose is to do with meditation. You've come here to discover the totality of your being, not fragments of it, not limited versions of it, to find the fullness of your spiritual domain, your soul.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Malcolm, for taking the time. Thank you for being such a wonderful human being, soul, consciousness, whatever. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me on and for allowing this message to shine yet again and hopefully touch more people. And thank you for that opportunity. And I really value your seriousness with this message. You know, to you, I know that it means a lot to you, and for you to share it with others means a lot to you. And so it's been a great opportunity for me to join you on this podcast and
absolutely
chat away, which we've done before, right?
You've
had a few chats before, but we always tend to get down to the nitty-gritty, down to the depth, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to our next episode, that's for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.